So when you came in here today, was anyone aware of their balance? Did anyone think about it? No one. But you were coming to a balance workshop. Weren't you paying attention, thinking about it? You know why? Because the only time we attend to our balance is when we lose it. No one thinks about their balance unless it becomes compromised in some way. But then the question comes, how do you affect something that you don't have any attention on? That brings up something else, of course. Maybe to improve our balance, we have to challenge our balance in some ways. And of course, to do it in a safe way. So not a challenge that feels like too much of a risk, but an appropriate amount of challenge that puts a demand on us so that we can start to make new distinctions around our balance. So right now, every one of us has a frame of reference of balance for ourselves. And it can vary greatly. For some people, it's the everyday sense of balance. I can step off the curb or go up and down steps without falling. I can get onto an escalator without fear. Maybe there's people in here who walk a slack rope or a tightrope, or ride a bicycle, or a unicycle. You know how they say when riding a bicycle is something you never forget? Did you say that here too? It's not true with a unicycle. I learned to ride a unicycle. It took me 3 months. And I was pretty good at it. I had a pretty good sense of balance. And there's years later, I was visiting a friend whose daughter had a unicycle. Hell, let me try it. I nearly killed myself. So you need two wheels to retain it. So we have a broad range of expectation of ourselves of what balance means. And I think we can also look at balance as one of the things that tells us or that we tell ourselves we're getting old. When we feel less safe in our environments. So maybe, and our abilities diminish in a variety of ways. So again, the question is, how can we maintain it? So I started to speak earlier about, we refer to balance as a thing. And there are many other things in our aspects of ourselves that we refer to this way. I think it better serves us to think of balance as a dynamic process, as something that's always changing, continually changing. Continually putting new demands on us to adapt and respond to the ever-changing situations of our lives. Now, this idea was at the basis of what Moshe taught. How great is our adaptability to the world that we live in? I want to talk about two more things about that that give us a sense of how we can do that. The first is choice. So we don't learn the right way to balance. If it's dynamic, we're continually adding to our ability to balance. And this is one of the basic tenets of what we do, what the Feldenkrais method explores. The second thing is something unusual. It's not that it's not done in other domains, but it's much more explicit, I think, in the Feldenkrais method, which is we look to evoke a more skeletal use of ourselves, in that the skeleton is the part of ourselves that bears weight and transmits force. And we underutilize our skeleton and overuse our muscles to maintain ourselves, bearing weight and transmitting force. So a lot of what we'll do in here is actually a kind of gentle deconstruction of some of our muscular habits, which results in being more skeletal. And when we're in our skeleton, we have a greater chance to act in different ways. We're less biased in our muscular habits. More choice becomes available to us. Now, before we start with some movement, I'll say one last thing, which is personal to me, and you've heard it before if you've been in the workshop. I think it's worth reminding you. And that's an idea that came to me when I was developing a workshop on self-image. As I investigated it, I started to think the idea of self-image revolved around a fairly simple idea. That my self-image is a reflection of how much I like myself or how much I don't like myself. And after teaching that workshop for a couple of years, I actually started to think, I think that's my job, to help people like themselves more. And of course, I use the Feldenkrais method to do that. But then I have a question for you. Is there anyone here who doesn't want to like themselves more? No? Okay. Everyone always, it's always the same smiles I see. It's a kind of, Last year in Oslo, I was talking about this, And a woman said, I already like myself. And I said, that wasn't the question. The question is, would you like to like yourself more? She went, okay. Now, it sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Who wouldn't want to like themselves more? But it immediately brings up something that's not so great. What do you think that is? If you start thinking about liking yourself, what do you run into?
To the sides that you don't like.
Exactly. So the minute you encounter the sides that you don't like, that's the place we have to be extremely gentle and kind with ourselves. And as I said, I bring this up in everywhere I teach. And I think in this workshop, it's especially important to talk about, because some of the lessons will present a certain level of challenge. And so in addition to being kind to ourselves when we feel challenged, yeah, we also need some criteria how to take care of ourselves. So one thing, of course, is whatever movements we're doing, if it's uncomfortable or painful, to do it smaller, to do it slower, and to rest whenever you need to rest. So I'll give you rest periodically, but you don't have to wait for me. So why don't we begin with the lesson?